If you have your Bibles tonight, there's two places I'd like for you to turn. One of them is Psalm chapter 4 and verse number 4. And the other one tonight is Luke chapter 24. Psalm chapter 4 and verse number 4. And then Luke chapter number 24. I enjoyed watching my granddaughter sing a while ago. I think she's going to Nashville just any time. Amen. Cut a record or something like that. Cut a shine maybe. Amen. But isn't it good to have the kids running around? Amen. I mean all the kids, all the youngins. It's good. Brother Preston, he let me know that there was a little bit of snot flying when he was watching that movie over there today. Amen. And that's all right, brother. If you can watch that movie without weeping, you're pretty hard-hearted as far as I'm concerned. Amen. Appreciate that. And he told me he's lent it out to those that are too tight to buy it. No, I'm just kidding. He did not tell me that. Amen. One I thought about was Brother John. Amen. Anyway, I've also got a copy, Miss Eve and I do. We'd be glad to lend it to anybody that's got a DVD player and would like to watch it. The movie is Overcomer, and it's not quite like anything I've ever seen before. Very, very. How many of you have seen it? How many haven't seen it? You know it's got to be one way or the other, don't you? Amen. The participation rate should be 100% on those two questions. If you haven't seen it, let me encourage you to see it. And Brother Steve told me about it. He and Sister Cindy, they went and saw it way back when it first came out. It's a tremendous, tremendous movie. And no bad language. It just, I believe it honors and glorifies God. Amen. Psalm chapter 4, verse number 4. Stand with me tonight in reverence to God's word. Appreciate you being here tonight. Just have a simple thought on my heart. Psalm chapter 4, verse number 4. Let's read it together. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Tonight, I want to go to Luke chapter number 24 and talk for just a few minutes about the resurrection. You can be seated. Pray with us, would you please, and pray for us tonight. Father, thank you for you people that have gathered here tonight. I know, Lord, there are people that are doing errands, helping others, and people, Lord, that are looking after their loved ones that may be getting ready to cross over, our Lord. There are people, Lord, that would be here tonight, but they're sick and they don't feel well. And I pray, Lord, you'd help them and minister to them. People preparing for surgery tomorrow. And I just ask you, Lord, to meet the need of each and every one. Lord, we pray tonight now as we've gathered around the Word of God for a few minutes, Lord, that you would help us to stand in awe of the truths of thy precious Word. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you being here tonight. Luke chapter 24 tonight. This morning we stood in awe of Calvary. And appreciate everybody that was here. And I told Miss Eve this afternoon, I said, I don't hear real well, but I said it seemed like there was amens coming from every corner. It seemed like somebody was glad for Calvary, amen? And I appreciated that. I really, really did. We don't preach for an amen, but we do appreciate people that appreciate Calvary, appreciate the Lord and what he's done for us. In Luke chapter 24, we'd like to stand in awe tonight of the resurrection. If we're not careful, some of these truths in the Word of God will get ho-hum. They'll get kind of dry, kind of dull to us. And Brother Ralph, I was in a strait this afternoon between going to Luke chapter 24 and going to Ruth chapter 4. I didn't know for sure which way the Lord wanted me to go. And the opening choir song really blessed my heart, Brother. He lives. Amen. The song's not got old. No. and the truth has not got old. He lives. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Amen. You ask me how I know He lives. Well, the songwriter said He lives within my heart. I tell you, He lives within the pages of this book. This book is alive. Amen. And God told us that He lives. I want to show you three things tonight that are opened in Luke chapter number 24 as we stand in awe of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And in verse number 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. The first thing I want you to see in the chapter tonight that is open is the tomb. Thank the Lord, the tomb is empty because the tomb was opened and Jesus is no longer in there. The Word of God teaches us tonight, beloved, that the truth of the gospel not only contains the crucifixion of the Lord, but the resurrection of the Lord. The Bible said, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. I'll say this tonight. I don't mean to be derogatory or demeaning, but you could ask the average Christian today, what's the gospel? And they couldn't tell you. But beloved, the gospel is how that Christ died for our sin, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. That would be Paul's scriptural definition of the gospel. A lot of people would say it was the good news. Well, I got news for you. If I go home and there's a check for $1 million in the mailbox, that's good news. Amen. But I got better news than that. Christ lives. And because He lives, I sat there as the choir sang and thought about where my mama's buried and my daddy's buried. Right there on the same hillside, I got an uncle that's buried. And I got a grandma and a grandpa that's buried. On the other side of the road, another grandpa and another grandma that's buried. I just want you to know, because the tomb is open, one day, thank God, the graves are going to be opened. And we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, Preacher, I just don't know what difference it makes. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for just a moment. Let me show you how critical it is and how crucial it is that we believe the truth concerning the resurrection. And let me just say this to you too. How many is aware there's all kinds of religions in the world? I mean, there's every ism that you can think of. But let me tell you something about Christianity. We're the only ones that have a Savior that got up. That's no longer where they buried Him. And no longer in a tomb. He's not a mummy, amen. He's a Savior because He got up the third and appointed day. Watch this. The Apostle Paul over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, evidently, it's evident to me that right here in the first century, there were some that didn't believe in the resurrection. Somebody said one time that was the major difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. I'll never forget this. I heard a preacher say, that's very sad, you see. If you don't believe in the resurrection, that's how I remembered which one it was that don't believe in the resurrection. And so evidently Paul was faced with that here even when he was writing this letter to the church of Corinth. Look at verse number 12. Now if Christ, this is chapter 15 verse 12, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Already, in this first century, there's people saying, no, that's not true. That's not possible. That can't be. I tell you, the whole Christian faith, beloved, is built around the fact and the truth that Christ died. He was buried. Yes, they buried him. But the third day he rose again. Amen. And I thank the Lord. Paul wrote about this. He said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, he said, then is Christ not risen? Paul is telling us, beloved, listen, that if Christ didn't get up, the whole thing's a joke. You might as well push the pews back, turn it into a dance hall, or just close the doors, turn out the lights, and go to the house. Because if Christ be not risen, watch what he says here. He's going to give us the emphasis. He says, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching's vain. Think about that. Paul said, I'm wasting my breath. I'm wasting my time. If Christ be not risen, you know one of the reasons I know he's alive? Because the one that spoke to my heart that night was not dead. He was very much alive. Amen. And because he gave me his life that night. That's what salvation's all about. I was dead in my trespasses and sin, and I came to him, and he gave me life. And he gave me life, eternal, life, everlasting. And so the word of God said here, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And not only that, your faith is vain. Now you can say whatever you want to. I like what Brother Kenny said a while ago. I thought of a verse when he was saying that. I think Brother Don was in that verse on Wednesday night. In him we live and move and have our being. One of the songwriters said, he wrote a song, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I got news for you, honey. You can't breathe. You can't do anything. You say, preacher, I'm not saved. I said, if you're saved or not saved, your breath, beloved, comes from God that made us. Amen. Thank the Lord. I believe there's some people in our country waking up to the fact that those are little babies in their mother's womb. I believe there's some people waking up to that. Amen. I've got hope. And you know what really gives me a lot of hope? It's a younger generation that's waking up to that, to the truth. Amen. That's a life in there. The president in the State of the Union had a lady come in there that had a baby that was born at 21 weeks. 21 weeks the baby was born, and the baby survived and is now 2 years old. You say, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm celebrating life. That's a life. God gave that baby life. Amen. And thank God the baby had the opportunity to make it for the glory of God. The Bible said here, if Christ be not risen, our preaching's vain. Your faith's vain. Yes, he said not only that. Now watch this. He said, we're found false witnesses. In other words, you can look at me tonight and you can say, preacher, if Christ be not risen, you're lying to us. Right? You say, preacher, is it that serious? It's that serious. I love it. I was, I don't know who thought of it, Sister Mary, over there on the children's church door, but I love it. Sister Jane, it says, for God so loved. And it's got the names, Landon, Sawyer, Olivia. I hadn't noticed it till today. I don't know how long it's been up there. Pastor's bad to walk by something, not notice if it's been up there a while. But I tell you what, all those names that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have it. In other words, listen to me, Mom and Dad. If Christ didn't get up, you're lying to your youngins. I'm glad we're not lying to them. I'm glad it's the Word of God. I'm glad he did get up. I'm glad I do know he lives. Amen. The Bible said here, we're false witnesses because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So if the dead rise not, then it's not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Now watch this, Brother Wayne. You're still on your way to hell. He said you're yet in your sin if Christ be not raised. You say, preacher, it can't be that serious. It is that serious. And people say, well, really, I believe he died, but it really don't matter whether you believe in the resurrection. It does matter. It matters. We take the truth as a whole or drop it as a whole. Amen? It's all the Word of God. Thank the Lord. The Bible said here, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Now watch this. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ. That's the loved ones I was talking about a while ago. Brother Sam, that's your wife. Brother Preston, that's your mommy. If Christ be not raised, the word of God said here, then them which are fallen asleep are perished. We know better. Because he did get up the third and appointed day. The Bible said here, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. In other words, beloved, listen. The gospel, praise God, takes us beyond the grave into the presence of an almighty God. To believe the gospel is to believe that Jesus got up. Now watch verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I used to tell the men in prison, we were not allowed to go in there and start naming other religions and things like that. You weren't allowed to go in there and preach against this religion or preach against that religion. So I figured out a way. God helped me to figure out a way to say it without saying it. And here's what I'd tell them. I'd say, men, I don't know what you believe. But I said, I'm going to tell you this. I'm a Christian. And I believe Jesus rose again the third day, just like the Bible said. Now, I'm allowed to say that. But I'd say this. You can trust somebody that couldn't get themselves up if you want to. I'm just a country boy. Makes good sense to me, if I'm looking to get up, to trust the one that got himself up. And there's only one that got himself up. His name is Jesus. Amen. His name is Jesus. Look with me back over in the book of Luke now for just a moment. There's something else I want you to see that was open. Not only the tomb. Thank the Lord, the tomb was open. I know I've told you before, I had a wonderful experience in Israel years ago. I've only been to Israel once, and I know I'm going back. It may not be in this body, but I know we're coming back to that Mount of Olives with Jesus. Amen? I know that. But I was over there, and was standing there at that tomb, and that fellow was giving his spiel about they believe this is the garden tomb. They believe this is where they laid the body of Jesus. Brother David, I just began to weep uncontrollably. Fellow next to me said, what's wrong? I said, ain't nothing wrong. I said, I'm just glad I didn't have to get on an airplane, come all the way over here to know the tomb is empty. Hallelujah, beloved. The night he saved me, I knew it was a living Savior and that the tomb was empty, just like the Bible said. If you come back to the book of Luke, chapter 24, there's two in verse number 13. That same day, they went to a village of Emmaus, and which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Remember that now. I'm going to show you something else in a moment. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? What he's saying, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. Haven't you heard what's going on around here? I mean, they crucified this Jesus. He's talking to Jesus, but he's talking to him like a stranger. You just get to town? Don't you know what's going on? Let's read it. The word of God said here, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known these things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto him, what things? Jesus just playing dumb, ain't he? Just saying, what are you talking about? They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. You remember that? Israel was looking for somebody, beloved, listen, to come in and set up the kingdom. You can see that plainly in Acts chapter number 1. And that's what they were looking for. They weren't looking for somebody that would be crucified. They should have read the whole story in the book of Isaiah. They should have read the whole story in the book of Zechariah. Watch what he said. But we trusted that it had been he which had redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, watch this. And certain women also of our company made us astonished. That, beloved, they're standing in awe, some of them, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had not also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, Jesus is going to tell them something now. He said, old fools, how'd you like to be presented with that on the road to Emmaus? Jesus said, old fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What Jesus is telling them right here, they don't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's telling them, listen, if you'd read that old Bible told you that I was going to be crucified. Told you that a virgin shall conceive and be with child. Going to call his name Jesus. He's going to be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He's going to die for the sin of the world. The Word of God said here, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Watch this now. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets. I love this. There was a man, I can't remember who it was, but years ago I was exposed to this. There was a man that said, you cannot find Christ in the Old Testament. Man, it'd be better to keep your mouth shut and let everybody think you're a fool as to open it and remove all doubt. You can't even get out of Genesis 1 without finding Christ. Let us make man in our own image. Right there he is, amen. In the beginning, God. He said, Christ? Yeah. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. Listen, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We cannot miss Jesus in Genesis. I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. I mean, right there he is. All the way through the Bible, you'll find Jesus. Cover to cover, you'll find Jesus. The Word of God said here, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, Jesus. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made though. Now, again, listen to me. You read this verse of scripture and you just keep on going. Beloved, do you understand that if Jesus started with Moses, and the Word of God said, expounded to them in all the scriptures, you understand there was a whole lot of conversation going on here. It wasn't just one verse. But I believe we miss it sometimes, and we fail to stand in awe of the truths of God's Word because we don't understand or don't realize exactly what's going on. Stop to think about it. Slow down. They drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him. They didn't want him to go. Stay with us. Watch it. They constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. What's the next verse say? And their eyes were opened. You know what you and I ought to do tonight? We ought to just stop and thank God that the tomb was opened. But we ought to stop and thank God there was a time in our life when our eyes were opened. The songwriter got it right when he said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I'll tell you something, it'll change our prayer life for the lost if we would realize there's no pastor, there's no soul winner, there's no deacon, there's no Sunday school teacher that has the power to open someone's eyes. Have they heard what I just said? Only the Spirit of the living God, only the Lord can open. We can present the gospel like was Wednesday night, but it took the Lord open Mackenzie's eyes that she might see the truths of the Word of God. Now watch this. I want to teach you something tonight. I believe you can have your eyes open and still be lost. How many knows what I just said? In other words, you can understand, yes, He died for me. Yes, He rose again the third day. How many fought a battle with pride before you got saved? You knew the truths of the Scripture. You knew the Word of God. But you didn't yet know the God of the Word. Your eyes were open, but something else had to be open. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let's read on. The Word of God said here, their eyes were open, and they knew Him. In other words, oh, that's Him. Brother John, they knew who He was. And what happened then? He vanished out of their sight. That's what the Bible said. The tomb has been opened. I stand in awe. Their eyes have been opened. I stand in awe. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us, by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Well, how'd you like to, Brother Mike, how'd you like to sit down on a bench somewhere and hear what He told them on the road to Emmaus? I bet it was good, don't you? I bet it sounded a whole lot like what Stephen was doing over there when he was preaching in the book of Acts. He is taking them back and teaching them from the Old Testament about this Christ that would come and deliver them. Now watch this. They rose up the same hour and they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself, Brother John, this is where you were only in another text this morning. Same story going on. The Bible said over there, were you in the book of John? Brother John, I can't remember. But it said that Jesus, the doors being shut, there He was in the midst. In other words, beloved, Jesus didn't need the rock or the stone taken away so He could get out. He could have got out with the stone still there. The idea of the stone being taken away was not to let Jesus out, but to let us in. That we could see that He was gone. Because He had the ability in that glorified body just to step right on through. Watch what the Bible said. As they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and He said unto them, and I love this. See, Jesus knew, Brother John, their hearts was tore up. He knew they were in fear. Brother John brought out this morning in Sunday school. Now, but the Bible said, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Watch this. And He said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? You know, you can't even really see where they spoke anything. You think Jesus ain't something. He knows what we're thinking before it ever comes out of our mouth. He knows what's in our heart. In verse 39, He said, behold my hands and my feet. Think about that. Behold my hands. In other words, He's saying, does the Spirit have flesh and bones? The Bible said here, He said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. Where Brother John was this morning was a story about Thomas. Thomas said, if I can't thrust my hand into His side, if I can't touch the nail prints in His hand, I'm not going to believe. Jesus said, Thomas, reach hither. And the Word of God doesn't say whether Thomas did it or not. I kind of want to think when he heard His voice, that was enough. Well, I'm glad I heard His voice. I'm glad He spoke to my heart. I believe when he heard the voice of Jesus, he cried out, my Lord and my God. Amen. Watch this now. When He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, look at that, yet believe not. You see that right there? The tomb's open. Remember? Their eyes are open. And the Bible yet says, and yet they believed not. Watch this now. And that he gave them a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it, and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled. Remember that this morning? Which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he something else. What did he open? What did he open? Their understanding. I'm going to tell you tonight, beloved, listen. Everybody that's been saved had to come to a tomb that was opened. Had to have their eyes opened. But then had to come to a place where their understanding was opened. The Word of God said then, if you'll look at it here with me, then opened he their understanding that they might understand. We ought to shout tonight. That we're not still blind. That we understand the Scripture. They understood the Scriptures. And he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. I'll finish in just a moment, but I want to stop and say this. 35% of the offering of the church goes out in missions. You say, preacher, why? Because, Brother Houston, God is still opening people's eyes. They may have worshipped a false god all their life, but God is still opening people's eyes. God is still opening people's understanding. And sinners are getting saved all over the globe. Amen? I honestly believe that there are doors open, such as the Philippines, wide open. Such as in South America, where they're saying, bring the Bibles into the school. I believe America said, we don't want you, Jesus. And he's going places where they do want him. And I want to say it's an honor to send men. And women missionaries. Yeah, they're not preachers, so to speak, amen, God called preachers, but they're taking that same message into those villages, many times to the children, before their minds are warped, and getting the truth of the gospel to them. The Bible said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The Word of God said he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. The Word of God said they worshiped him. Don't you think we ought to? The tomb is empty. He opened the tomb. He opened our eyes. He opened our understanding. Beloved, my dad loved me, but my dad couldn't open my understanding. My dad loved me, but my dad couldn't open my eyes. It took the Lord to open my eyes and open my understanding. And they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You see, I believe it's one thing, listen to me carefully, to see the truth. I believe it's another thing to receive the truth. And I believe that all over the world there are people that in their pride, Brother Rose, they've seen the truth. They know they need Jesus. They know their only hope of heaven is Christ. And you know what's sad? A lot of them are sitting on pews in Baptist churches. And they wouldn't dare move. Because they'd be embarrassed. Let me ask you something. Bob, you and I have a testimony a lot alike in that we were religious a long time before we got saved. What would the embarrassment be like at the great white throne? To get there, Brother Ralph, and everybody thinks you're saved. and hear God say, depart from me. Amen. You say, preacher, are you trying to trip somebody up? No, if you're saved, that ain't going to trip you up. But I'm going to tell you this, you're not going to ride a Baptist ticket into glory. It'll have to be a born-again ticket. It'll have to be a place in your life where God helped you not only to see the truth, but to understand the truth, where you came to the end of yourself. As I quoted Brother Brian this morning, him quoting Brother Mitchell, where you take sides with God against yourself. That's when you understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Brother Preston, you're able to say, Lord, you're right, and I'm wrong. Amen. What a blessing. The Word of God said here, they worshiped Him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Well, I believe, listen, if they're praising God because their eyes are open, their understanding's open, I believe we ought to do the same thing, don't you? I believe we ought to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. I prayed this morning early, praying for one individual especially. I said, God, I can't do it. I can't open his eyes. I can't get to him. But God, you can. I went back, Brother Wade, to the night when God got to me. It wasn't the preacher that got to me. I never shall forget. Brother John just has a way with words. He said, Sunday school, it's been probably years ago that I heard it the first time. But he said, I heard. But he said, one day I heard. How many knows what he's talking about? It's one thing to hear with these old ears. It's another thing for it to go deeper than the ears, down into our understanding, and know the Lord Jesus in the free pardon of sin. I mean, he's glad you come tonight. I mean, he's glad he's alive. You're going to meet somebody this week who hadn't had their eyes opened. Why don't you ask God to help you. Help you just to be alive, that their eyes might be opened. You're going to meet somebody that hadn't had their understanding open. Amen. This is not maybe the best of applications, but God's people need to be praying for America. There are people that don't understand what socialism is. Did you hear what I said? I'm not throwing any stones. You said, preacher, why wouldn't they understand something like that? Because this Bible teaches if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. Amen. I was talking to Brother Dan the other day. They said he's not eating much and he's not real hungry. Brother Dan got up on that walker and they took him out of that room. He went to walking, and I said, Brother Dan, you do a little bit more of that. I said, you'll get hungry. You don't get hungry just laying around, amen? But you get up and get active, and you get that appetite back, amen? And I'm just trying to help him, amen? There's a whole lot of people that can't sleep of a night because they sleep half a day. Am I right or am I wrong? God wants us to be busy, be about our Father's business, and at the same time, take time to be still and know that He's God. Are all hearts and minds clear tonight?